Satyam, Shivaram, Sundaram. These are three words to describe God. First is Satyam. Satyam means existence. That which is Sat. Sat means eternal. This body, this material body that we're inhabiting is temporary. Asat. Comes for some time. It maintains. It grows, produces some byproducts, and then dwindles, gets old, and vanishes, and dies. So the body is asat. The God is satyam, param satyam chadimahi, says in the Upanishads. Param satyam chadimahi. Dimahi. Di means buddhi, intelligence. Should be placed there, dimahi. Param satyam cha dimahi. Our intelligence should be fixed on the parasatyam, param satyam, means the supreme existence. Satyam means eternal. Existence is eternal. I am existence. I exist. I know I'm existing. I was existing 10 years ago and 15 years ago. I was existing. Body's different. Body's changing. New body. Every 90 days, the cells come and go, and 60 days and 120 days, and all these things. Right? The lifespan of a cell is measured in days. The body is a composite of billions of cells. So in the Vedic conception, they say within 7 years' time, every cell in the body is, it's all changed. The cells, our body is simply a combination of millions of cells grouped around a living principle. The cells themselves, cells themselves are also alive. There's jivas in every cell, and Paramatma also. But we are like the pervading element of this body. The soul, or the big soul. We're like the super soul of the universe. We're the super soul. The body is like a universe of millions of souls, which are cells. Every cell is a living entity, isn't it? So where there's life, it means jivatma. The living particle of consciousness. And that particle of consciousness is eternal, satyam, sat. But this body that we're moving around in is not. So satyam means existence. Existence is eternal, God is eternal. And God is sometimes described as the absolute. The absolute being, the absolute person, and the absolute truth. So this all comes under the word satyam, describing God. Satyam sundaram. Satyam shivaram sundaram. So truth is God, God is truth, and the absolute truth is the fullest, topmost, complete realization of Godhead. That's the absolute truth. Anything less than the absolute truth is called a relative truth. One truth related to another. But the absolute is related to nothing, to no one. He's the source. We have a relationship because we are not the source. We're not God. And sometimes they say, who is this? I have a cause, a source. I have a cause, my mother, father, etc. And then some people say, who's the mother of God? Who's the father of God? Who's the cause of God? Well, that's the meaning of absolute. He's causeless. There's no cause of the cause. It's described that God is Govinda, Govinda Mari Purusham. Sarva Karna Karnam, Govinda Mari Purusham. That he is Ishvara, Parama, Krishna, Svachidananda Vigra, Anadi Radhir Govinda, Sarva Karna Karnam. That God is Sarva Karna Karnam. He is the cause of all causes. So he's the absolute Satyam. Param Satyam Jadimahi. So our intelligence should be fixed on that Parasatya, that absolute reality, that absolute being, that supreme person who is the cause of everything else. He's the controller of everything else and the cause of everything else. So that's Satyam. And that's the absolute truth. And the absolute truth is reality. Reality is eternal. And the truth, the absolute truth, is eternal. But there's something special about the fullest understanding of the absolute truth. The fullest understanding of the absolute truth is the absolute truth is not only truth, but beauty. Truth and beauty. God is the absolute truth and the absolute beauty. And beauty, there's no such thing as beauty without sweetness. A fruit is beautiful because it's sweet. A woman is beautiful because of her sweetness. Her form, the sweetness of her form, the sweetness of her speech or actions, etc. So beauty implies sweetness. And this is really what everyone is looking for. Everyone, every jiva, every living entity, every jiva, jivatma, is imbued or is created with a spark of attraction, karshan. Karshan, shakti, the spark of attraction. It is natural, it is our nature, it is inherent for us to be attracted by beauty and sweetness. It is in nature. No matter where the jivas are placed, they're looking for, they want to be attracted. Man wants to be attracted to woman. Woman wants to be attracted to man. Everywhere the principle of attraction is operating. Neutrons are attracted to protons, and all these little characters down there are working on the principle of attraction. Neutrons and protons and atoms and so originally, we are, because we have this attractive quality within us, it comes from the Absolute Truth, who is attraction personified. God is attraction personified. And what is the word that describes the personification and embodiment of all attraction? Krishna. Krish. Karshan. Karshati. Karshati iti namna anand. That attractive personality who is a source of bliss. Because if you find something that or someone who is very attractive, then they will be beautiful and sweet. And when you find that beauty and sweetness, then you feel completely fulfilled and satisfied. So all these ideas, these principles and aspirations are contained in the word Krishna. And the word Krishna is describing that absolute person, God. Sri Krishna, the reality, the beautiful. Reality, the absolute truth, the satyam, the reality is beautiful. And beauty means sweetness. And when you have sweetness and beauty and attraction, then what do you have? You attain fulfillment. If you find someone that's very beautiful and they're very sweet and attractive, then you'll be satisfied. You'll be fulfilled. And this is Krishna. And everyone's looking for that. They're looking for him or for her. Because Krishna is Shakti, Shaktiman. Krishna is Radha and Krishna Yugal. Radha is never without Krishna. Krishna is never without Radha. If Radha is not standing next to Krishna, she's standing in his heart. If Krishna is not standing next to Radha, he's standing in her heart. Sambhog is standing outside my heart, and Viraha is standing inside my heart. But always I'm with my beloved, in union and separation. So therefore they have the principle of Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva. This idea of Godhead is inconceivably simultaneously one and different. A God is everywhere and he's nowhere. God is within everything and he's outside of everything. This is told in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, verse 4. What is it? Maya tatam idam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina matstani sarvutani. Yedam dvete jagadavyakta. Mayatatamidam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina matstani sarvabhutani natchaham teshavashtitaha. By me in my unmanifested form, avyakta murti, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. So it's another way of saying I'm everywhere, I'm nowhere, I'm within, I'm in everyone, and no one, and I'm outside of everyone. This is the inconceivability, achintya, tattva, achintya sabhav of God, the inconceivable nature. If we can fit God in our fist, then he's not God, we're God. God fits in our fist. You know, this is called fist. I have God in my fist. I can weigh him. I can circumscribe him. I can measure him. I can control him. Then you must be God. If you can understand God, you can fit him, you can weigh him and measure him and contain him, then he's not God, because God is unlimited and immeasurable and all-pervading. So then he goes beyond our logic, beyond our reason. God is not unreasonable, because God is beyond our logic doesn't mean he's unreasonable. Because he's beyond our reason doesn't mean he's unreasonable. Or because he's beyond our logic doesn't mean he's illogical. It just means that our logic and reason powers are limited. So how can we are finite and we are limited. So how can the finite and limited understand the infinite unlimited truth? The infinite unlimited truth is God. G-O-D. Bhagavan. So Satyam, this principle of absolute truth and everything related to it, which is, means the relative truths, everything is related to God. So those truths, everything is true because God is all truth. The material world is true, but it's relatively true because it's temporary. We have our relatives, they're related to us. So they have some truth, they have some reality, but it's temporary. So they are relativities. They are relativities in our life. Mother, father, husband, son, daughter, etc. Cousin, jiju, masi, and bua, and mama, and all these various categories of people. So Satyakam, his guru, Guru's name was Jabala Rishi. He had one young boy, came to his ashram in the forest. He started serving him very nicely. Samitpani Shotriyam Brahmanishtam. Samitpani. Pani means hands. Samit means carrying in his. He used to go out. Samitpani Shotriyam Brahmanishtam. He would go out and collect firewood in his hands to serve the guru, because the guru is doing yagyas, so he needs firewood and gober and all these things. So he's like a menial servant of his guru. Brahmachari guru kule vasandantor gurohitam. Vasandantor gurohitam. Gurohitam. Guruhitam. Guruhitam. Brahmachari guru kule. He was living in the Brahmachari ashram in the forest with Jabala Rishi. Brahmachari Guru, Vasandantor Guru, he was controlling his senses, and he was observing austerity and controlling his senses, and he was only Guru Hita. He was living for the benefit of the Guru. Hita means benefit. Lokanam Hitakarno Chubhuvane Manyo Sharanyakaro. Sad Goswami. So the Brahmachari Shishya, Chela, he lives in the ashram of the Guru to serve and please and satisfy and benefit and always the spiritual teacher, the Guru. So this young boy was doing that, and the Guru's mind was turned to him because of his humility, his dainya bhav, his utsaha, his enthusiasm and seva, and his respectful attitude, and his general nishta. Nishta means his confidence and Guru and God and Shastra, his faith in Shastra, and his steadiness in his seva. So the Guru was impressed with all these good qualities. So then he inquired, he said, I would like to give you diksha, initiation. But I need to know your gotra, because this was a standard. Who is your father? You're the son of whom? Who is your father? Who is your mother? What is your gotra? Are you Brahman? Because these mantras can only be given to Brahman or to Kshatriya. If you're Mlecha Yavana, or you're not in the Vedic paradigm, then I can't initiate you. So he said, all right, I'll go home to my mother and ask her. So then this boy, he went to his mother, and he said, Guruji wants to initiate me, Jabala Rishi, but he wants to know what my gotra is and who my father is. So his mother hung her head down. She was a little ashamed because she was like a little bit lower class type person. And she said, actually, I really don't know who your father is, because there's been a few different people here that I've mixed up with, because she's a little bit lower class. And I don't really know your gotra, who your father is. So then the boy was a little sad about that, and a little embarrassed and ashamed also. So he went back to his Guruji. And he said, so you found out your lineage, your father's line and gotra caste. And the boy hung his head down in shame and embarrassment. He said, actually, Guruji, I don't know who my father is. So my mother is a little bit not so proper behavior. And I don't know my gotra either. So the Guru, Jabala Rishi, he was so impressed with the straightforwardness and the saralata, the honesty of this boy, that he said, because you're honest, I'm going to give you diksha. And I'll create all your sanskaras, and I'll create all your sanskaras by my tapa balam, and I'll create all your punya sukriti by my ashirvad, and make you qualified for diksha. Because you're honest. So this is a quality of satyam, honesty. So when asked, do you have any questions? And the reply came, no. Then the next question was, are you reading? And the answer was, no, I haven't read since the last 2 weeks or so. So that's satyam. That's honesty. So this is a quality of the absolute truth, honesty, satyam. Satya means eternality, truth, eternality. God is eternal, he's the absolute truth. The absolute truth is eternal. The reality is eternal and beautiful. So this is satyam. Shivaram means, generally we say Shivaram means that which gives auspiciousness. But actually, Shivaram also means existence. That which exists is also Shivaram. It's eternality and then consciousness. Like Shivaram means consciousness, awareness, auspiciousness. So this is another quality of God. His awareness is everywhere. His consciousness is everywhere. We have some consciousness. We have some awareness. This is called the chit feature of the Atma, sat and chit. Chit is equivalent of Shivadam. And we're aware of what's going on in our body and mind to some extent, but we don't know the pains and pleasures of another person, what they're undergoing or what they're experiencing. But God is, because he's everywhere, he's all pervading. He knows, he's aware, he knows how we feel. He knows what we're going through. He's right in our hearts. And he hears our prayers. And he responds also. So he is the most pervasive and available personality in the whole creation. Shivaram. And when one avails himself to the existence of God and one takes advantage of the immediate presence of God in his heart by calling out to Antaryami, Super Soul, Paramatma, Chaitya Guru, then he finds his life becomes auspicious. Shivaram. Shiva means all auspicious. Because then he realizes that my best friend is right within my heart. He's always been existing right within my heart. That God is right within my heart. He's always been there waiting for me. And he's ready to give all support and all encouragement and all everything if I surrender to him. He'll give happiness, he'll give peace, he'll give beauty, he'll give attraction, he'll give charm, sweetness, everything he'll give. It's a matter of love. Love without surrender is not love. Love without faith is not love. Love without confidence is not love. And love without trust is not love. So to turn to God means to love God. And so then we surrender to God in the heart. And that surrender indicates our love. Then we have confidence in our new relationship, our new loving relationship. We have confidence in God that He will not let me down and He will not distrust me or disappoint me. And we surrender, we have confidence and trust. And then we begin to offer our love there. We begin to serve the Lord. And He begins to reciprocate. And in this dynamism, this dynamic relationship between God and the devotee, between the Paramatma and the Atma, the soul and God, everything becomes so, life becomes so auspicious and beneficial for that jiva that surrenders to God and tries to love God and serve Him. But then he experienced the Shivaram feature of God, the God, the Krishna Satyam and Shivaram. Then finally Sundaram. Sundaram means beauty, like we describe some beautiful woman, we say, oh, she's Ati Sundari. Very beautiful. Ati Sundari, Ati Sundara. Exceedingly handsome. Sham Sundara. But Sundaram actually indicates the Anand feature of the jiva. Anand, Satchit Anand. Sat, this is Satyam. Chit is Shivaram. And Anand is Sundaram. Because, as I mentioned, that the Absolute is beautiful. Sri Krishna reality, the beautiful. The Absolute Truth, the truth is, the reality, the truth, is Absolute. And the Absolute Truth is the source of all other truths. And the source of all other realities is the Absolute Reality. And God is the source of everything. Sarvakarana Karanam. But there's a certain qualifying attribute of God that we have to consider here. That He's the Absolute Truth, but He's beautiful. Sundaram. So, and this beauty is the key element. Because contained within Krishna, that beautiful form of Krishna, is so much sweetness and charm. And when we experience the beauty, sweetness, and charm of God, then we experience Anand. Bliss, Anand. So then we realize our own eternal identity, Satchit Anand. So without experiencing the beauty of God, without experiencing the beauty of the Absolute Truth, or the sweetness or charm of the Absolute Truth, we can never experience that Anand feature, Premanand. Because the greatest beauty is revealed in a loving relationship. And the greatest sweetness and charm is revealed in a loving relationship. The more intense the love, the more intimate and confidential the love, the greater the sweetness, the greater the fulfillment, and the greater the charm. So you can love your servant, but it's not the same as loving your friend. You can love your friend, but it may not be the same as loving your mother. You can love your mother, but it's not the same as loving your wife. The intimacy, the beauty, the sweetness, the charm is enhanced. So now go all the way up the scale to God, to Krishna, Shyam Sundara. And he is that Sundaram. He is that personification of bliss. But what makes him blissful? His beauty makes him blissful. His sweetness makes him blissful. And his charming behavior makes him blissful. And all this combined makes Sundaram, Anand. So when we describe God as Satyam, Shivaram, Sundaram, it means these things. And this is another way of describing the relationship of the jiva with God. We are Satchit Ananda, but our Sat feature finds fulfillment in Param Satyam Chadimahi, meditating on the Supreme Absolute Satyam, Sri Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Then Shivaram, everyone wants things to go right. Everyone wants everything to go right and be auspicious and be Mangalam. Mangalam. Even they name one day of the week Mangala, isn't it? Mangalvar. Supposed to be a good day, auspicious day. But usually it's such a good day, people don't want to do anything good. On Mangalvar, people don't get married, they don't move into their house, they don't buy new dress, they don't do anything. They try to stay home. Mangalvar is all Mangal. But the idea is that we want every day to be Mangal, auspicious and good. So when every day is with Krishna, then every day is good, auspicious, Shivaram. And Sundaram. The truth is beautiful. The truth is sweetness. The truth is charming. This is Krishna. Satyam Shivaram Sundaram. So I'm inspired by your telling the truth in the age of Kali, when everyone tells everything but the truth. They used to have something called an oath when you went to the court to testify about a crime. You'd have to put your hand on the Bible. The Bible is considered a holy book in the West, Christian Bible. You put your right hand there, and then the secretary of the judge, he says, Do you promise on the Bible, like pratigya, do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth? So help you God. And then they say, yes, your honor, all right, now testify. So that was what they would say, but now it's Kali Yuga is such that people will say, do you swear to tell lies and only lies all the time? And people say, yes, your honor, I do. Because in this age, no one tells the truth. You know, so this is a little bit of like a joke, but it's true. So we'll close on that interesting note. Pram Satyam Chadimahi. That we should try to realize the Satyam Shivaram Sundaram nature of Bhagavan Sri Krishna and our own selves by realizing our eternal relationship with that Param Satyam Sri Krishna.